Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. All right, we're in Acts chapter 18. If you'd be finding Acts chapter 18. The Spirit of the Lord is with us. His presence is here today. And I hope that you sense His Spirit here. God is here. There are some Sundays, I'm not sure about that, but I know beyond the shadow of a doubt the Holy Spirit wants to do something here today. We're in Acts chapter 18, and if you would, I know we've been up and down a couple of times, but let's honor God's Word, shall we, as best we can. Acts 18, I'm in verse 9, and I want to tell you this is, God gave me this message this week, and it, you just pray I can get through it. Acts 18, verse 9. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by vision. Do not be afraid. Say that with me. Do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you. For I have many people in this city. And he, that's the Apostle Paul, continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the Word of God among them. Teaching the Word of God among them. Tad Ketch, ask God to bless the Word, would you?
Dear Lord, we just come to you just thanking you for the day that you've given us, dear Lord, the rain that you've blessed us.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, my brother. You know, fear is one of Satan's greatest weapons, is it not? And I believe it's one of Satan's favorite tricks that he likes to pull out of his bag of tricks and use on God's people. Because he knows if he can sow seeds of fear and doubt into our lives, that the gospel's not going to go forth in power like God wants it to. And there have been a lot of Christians, a lot of great believers even, down through the years that have battled this thing called fear. And we still battle with it today. I promise you, there are many in here today, and you're battling some issue of fear. Maybe it's fear of failure. How many of you, well, I better not ask for a show of hands. There's fear of public speaking, fear of witnessing, fear of the future, fear of being alone, fear of, did I mention failure? I think I did. Fear of rejection, fear of dying, fear of an uncertain future. I mean, we've got fears on top of fears, right? And I want to tell you, this passage of Scripture is much needed here today. And as we move through the tenor and the tone of this text, it's going to bless you today. Because from time to time, Satan's coming with his wagon load of fear and doubt. Am I right? And so let's take a look. Now, when I say the name, the Apostle Paul, What do you think? I think of a powerful, bold, fervent, fearless witness for Christ Jesus. Isn't that who you think of when I mention the name of Paul? Yeah. Well, what did the Holy Spirit just say to Paul? Don't be afraid. You see, even the Apostle Paul had moments of fear and doubt. And so, as this passage unfolds here in Acts chapter 18, Paul had a phenomenal ministry in a city called Corinth. Not Corinth, Mississippi. Corinth was a wicked city. 700,000 people lived there in this pagan city of cult worship and paganistic religion. The folks that lived in Corinth operated daily in immorality and idolatry. It was a wicked city. I mean, they worshiped at the altar of the can I say it this way? At the altar of the almighty dollar. They drank from the fountain of pleasure and pursuit. They rocked in the chair of luxury. They were filled with degradation and filth. And so it was here that the Apostle Paul came to me. He just left Athens, where he'd been laughed at, ridiculed. Remember, he preached to the scholars up on Mars Hill. Well, after he left there, they had ridiculed him and mocked him and made fun of him. And he travels the 50 miles to Corinth. And then he winds up going to the synagogue in Corinth to preach. And the Jews opposed him then and there. And they began to ridicule him. And I mean, Apostle Paul's up against it. And when you read through the Corinthian letters, the letters to the Corinthians, you come to an understanding that Paul is writing with a sense of, he's got the blues. He's despondent. He's discouraged. And he's got fear in his heart. And let me put it this way. I think the Apostle Paul is at the lowest ebb of his ministry right here today. And he's thinking not of quitting ministry, but quitting Corinth. I mean, he's physically exhausted. He's trying to make a living making tents. He's emotionally exhausted. Every corner he's confronted with opposition. He's wasting away emotionally and racially. He's ready to throw in the towel. Some of you may be here today, and maybe you're despondent. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you're dealing with an uncertain future. Maybe the doctor gave you some news you didn't want to hear this week. Maybe your health's failing. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's financial. You know, there were several men that lost their job at Johnston's last week. I don't know what it is, but man, Satan is a master at sowing seeds of fear and doubt in God's people. All of us have times when we're under attack. And life's burdens sometimes seem too much to bear, don't they? But I've come here today to tell you, when you need it the most, the Holy Spirit shows up right on time. And He speaks to your need and mine. And I think about how He spoke to Moses out in the desert in the wilderness and met his need, and how He spoke to Isaiah when King Uzziah had died there in the temple, and how He spoke and ministered to Jesus when He was praying in the garden, and how He came and spoke to Paul here in Corinth. And I want to tell you, that same God wants to speak to you today. So let's look at this passage of Scripture. Now, verse 9, the outline I put together is very, very simple today, and I believe God will bless it, though. But there's three things that the Holy Spirit does for Paul when Paul needed to hear from God. And the first thing the Holy Spirit does in this night vision, he speaks to the Apostle Paul, and the Holy Spirit commissioned Paul. Look again at verse 9. Somebody's going to get this, and you're going to have a Baptist fit. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not, here's the commission, here's the call. Are you ready? Do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent. Paul, you don't have any need to be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. And he says, you just keep on speaking. You keep sharing the gospel. You just stay with the stuff. Don't you throw in the towel. What basically he's saying is, don't you quit. All right. And I've come here today to tell you, Second Mile, it's too soon for us to quit. Yeah. Let me say this. Trying times are not the time to quit trying. Now, I don't have very many original thoughts, but that's one of them. Trying times are not the time to quit trying. It is time to stay with the stuff, Second Mile Church. We got the same commission, the same call from God Almighty today that Paul got here. It's too soon to quit. Too soon to quit. The need is so great today, is it not? I mean, 180,000, if the 90% thing is right in Montgomery County, 180,000 people that live in Montgomery County and Clarksville are lost as a golf ball in high weeds, without Christ, separated from His grace and His mercy. And if we throw in the towel and we quit speaking and we quit praying and we quit working and we quit sharing, guess what's going to happen to our city? It's going to go to hell in a handbasket. It's too soon to quit. Look at your neighbor and tell them, don't you quit. Now having said that, now some of y'all said that like you halfway meant it. Either get out or get all in. Tell somebody, don't quit. That's better. We're experiencing some rumblings of revival here in Montgomery County. I mean, churches are actually coming together and doing some things together. I was at a meeting with some pastors this week. Every one of them thanked me for inviting their wives to a banquet here at our church. And I'm sitting there going, oh, thank you. You know, I knew a little something about it, but I told the guy, I said, it's not me. And so we've got pastors' wives from all different denominations and backgrounds coming together. The downtown commons. That night when we were together, there were over 20 churches that were involved in worship that night. Powerful move of God. Churches are coming together. Pastors are trying to pray for one another and support one another. I want to tell you, these are some great days right now. If we don't mess this up, if we don't quit what we're doing, God's going to do something that only He can do. And so it's too soon to quit. Stay with the stuff. And maybe you're up against something else that a lot of folks don't know. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. Don't you throw in the towel. Don't you let Eeyore whip you. Y'all know who Eeyore is, right? Don't you quit. Stay with the stuff. We've got the same commission that was given to the Apostle Paul. It's too soon to quit. Secondly, the Holy Spirit comforted Paul. And this is verse 10, is shouting ground. If you're battling fear today, or you're battling doubt, look, get this. Do you have a pen or a pencil? Oh, y'all are so sharp, you can just remember everything, right? Get this, however you can get it. There's three promises that the Holy Spirit comforts Paul with. And I'm just going to give them to you up front. He says, verse 10, for I am with you, that's the promise of His presence. Isn't that what we were singing about? That's the promise of His presence. I am with you. And then no one will attack you to hurt you. That's the promise of His protection. That's the promise of His... No one will hurt you. For I have many people in this city. That's the promise of His potential. So let's unpack those three things. The promise of His presence. The Holy Spirit of God tells Paul, I am with you. And I want to tell you, if you've got God with you, you don't need to worry about anything else. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in this world. If God be for us, Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? I mean, brothers and sisters, God is with us. Just like He was with Paul, He's with us. I mean, the great commission that Jesus gave us, the last words that He spoke on this earth, go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, and if you'll go, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Hebrews 13:5. I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. That's the promise of His presence. The Spirit of God abides in you if you're a child of the King. He is with you. He is in you. And He's not mad at you. He's for you. Whew. Help us, Jesus. He's with you in the valley, and He's with you on the mountain. He's with you in sickness, and He's with you in health. He's with you in death, and He's with us in life. Remember what David said? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me. He is with us today. We have the promise of His presence. And folks, just keep telling yourself that. When the old evil one shows up and begins to sow his seeds of discord and doubt and lies. But y'all do know every time Satan's speaking, he's lying, right? He's a liar. He's the father of all lies. Hallelujah. You've got the truth, though. You've got the Spirit of Almighty. That's the promise of His presence. It's too soon to quit. And then there's the promise of His protection. He says, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you. Now, Paul knew what physical attack and physical danger was all about. I mean, Paul... was stoned and left for dead outside a city. Any of y'all ever been stoned half to death? Paul was scourged, not once, not twice, but three times. Whipped 39 times, each time with a cat of nine tails. He had the scars to show people that he'd been under attack. He was beaten with rods. He was chained up like an animal and thrown into a deep, dark prison cell many times. Paul knew what physical attack was like. He knew what danger was all about. Paul was just a man like we are. But the good news is that while they could attack Paul, they would not be able to hurt Paul. When God's on your side. Listen, folks. One of Isaac's memory verses is Galatians 2:20. And that verse says, listen to me. That verse said, I have been crucified with Christ. You see, you're no longer alive. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You've already died. Nobody can hurt you. Nobody can take your life from you because your life belongs to Christ. Are y'all with me over here on the righteous right? Let me go over here to the liberal left. Are y'all with me? You understand what I'm saying? Have mercy. What a great, great promise from God today that He will protect us. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fears Him. And He delivers them. Amen, Barbara Nelson. I'm looking at you right now. He has delivered her. He has protected her. And nothing can happen to you if you're a child of the King. We're in the powder room, brothers and sisters. We're getting dressed up for glory. Whew. I know, I've been chewing on this stuff all week, and I want y'all to get it like I've got it already. And you're mulling that stuff. I guess y'all are doing that, right? All right, so that's the promise of His protection. It's too soon to quit. And then there's the promise of His potential. Look at this. He says, "For I have many people in this city." The Lord saw something Paul couldn't see in Corinth. What Paul saw was a wicked city. Man, he saw folks that were shackled by sin and enslaved by Satan. These folks in Corinth weren't really good examples. They weren't good candidates for salvation. Anybody with me? And you know, sometimes that's what happens to us. But God saw the sin and it of the people in Corinth, and it broke His heart. And He saw people not in their sin and their filth and their degradation, but what He saw was what they could become with His grace. He saw converts. Are y'all with me? He saw converts. What people could become with His grace. You know, sometimes we see the immorality and we hear the profanity and we experience the indecency and we forget. But I want to tell you, God sees the potential. And we don't know who His people are, but He's got them out here in Clarksville and Montgomery County. Could the Lord be saying, "Don't you give up? You keep praying. You keep speaking for me. Many are going to be saved. I've got all kinds of folks in Clarksville." Who knows what God may want to do? And by the way, if you have a Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 6. Just turn right in your Bible, just a few pages. 1 Corinthians 6. We need to be reminded of this. How many of y'all been saved 25 years or longer? More than half of you. We need to hear this. The most unlikely person in your neighborhood may be the next convert. Might be the next one who gets saved. Listen to what Paul said through the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Do you not know, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now that's folks who practice those things, okay? Lifestyle. It's the pattern of their lives. They will not inherit the kingdom. But look what Paul says here. And such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. If we just begin to understand the potential for God to save an entire city, Second Mile, it'd change our perspective. God can change anybody. He can give anyone a new heart. No one is beyond the grace and the mercy and the love of God Almighty. God can save anybody. And can't you just imagine after Paul got this word about God's potential in the city of Corinth, and he's walked, every person I believe after that when he walked, I wonder if this is one of God's new converts. I wonder if this is one of my brothers or one of my sisters. You see, that's the way we need to see people, the way God sees them. Right? Is this one of the Lord's people? I am living proof. If He will take me and use me, He will take anybody. Anybody. And He'll use you. Do you see God's potential today? Whew. What would Paul do after receiving this commission? this comfort? What would Paul do with these promises? Well, I'm glad you asked. The Holy Spirit convicted Paul. Listen to his response. What would Paul do? Would he quit? Give up? Throw in the towel? Verse 11. And he continued there a year and 6 months. How long is that? That's a year and a half. He continued there another year and a half, teaching the Word of God among them. Paul came down to one rock rib conviction, and this is it. He would not quit. He would not quit. You see, the response of the people wasn't up to Paul. And that's not our responsibility either. God's the one who does the saving. We're just the mailmen. We're just the delivery boys. We're just the mouthpieces, ladies. We're just the spokespersons for God. God's the one who does the saving. He's the one who gives the increase. All we're supposed to do is don't be afraid and keep on speaking. Keep on sharing. Keep on doing what He's called us to do. And when Paul left Corinth a year and a half later, hundreds of people had come to faith in Christ. Hundreds. As I think about Clarksville and Montgomery County, it's hot on my heart this morning. It's why Diana and I came home. I don't know why you came down here to Second Mile Church, but I love you enough to tell you, if you're not hot after souls, you're going to be uncomfortable here, because we are after people. We're after people with the gospel. The church is not some country club. The church is a hospital for sinners. We're here to minister to people. We're here to serve people. We're not here to sit, soak, and sour. Hello? I love y'all enough to give you the gospel truth. That's what this is all about. We're here to reach our community. We're here to reach our county. We're here to reach our state, and bless God, it's bigger than that. We're here to reach our world for Jesus. What about you today? Is Satan holding you back with fear and doubt? Is there something that God maybe has called you to, and you're letting fear keep you from God's best? Is there something in your past that's holding you back? We have the promises of God today. We've been commissioned. We've been comforted. And we've been convicted about who we are. And y'all, I get it. I'm human just like y'all. I have to put up with stuff just like y'all do. I'm not anybody special. I understand what it's like. It is tough trying to raise a Christian family in this environment. It is. I get all of that. And I know sometimes the road is lonely, and sometimes the burdens get heavy. I understand all that. I get it. Sometimes the mountains get too high and the valleys get too low. Sometimes the trials are hard and they don't ever seem to go away. But don't you quit. It's too soon to quit. When the frustrations get high, and funds are low. How many of you can say amen? When the frustrations are high and the funds are low. When the worship is dry and the amens are few. And that happens sometimes. When the wife gets weary and the kids get teary. And you're ready to throw in the towel. Don't you quit. It's too soon to quit. Why? Because we serve a great God. He can call the troubled waters. Oh, listen to me. He can still the storm. He can move that mountain and He can bear your burden. Just trust Him. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. It's too soon to quit. I have seen in my life and in my ministry, He can sweeten the most disgruntled person on the planet. And He can bind up the brokenhearted. He can heal the hurting, give peace that passes all understanding. He can raise the dead, make the blind to see. He can cause the lame to get up and walk again. Don't you quit. It's too soon to quit. The one who called you and commissioned you is faithful. He'll nourish your soul. He'll provide for your every single need. He'll make your path straight. The one who called you will comfort you in the midnight hour. He's the balm of Gilead. He's the oil of gladness. He'll satisfy your longing heart. Somebody shout amen. He'll help you overcome any obstacle. He'll revive your spirit. He'll turn your night into day. Oh, the one who convicts you will use your weakness for His glory. Figure that out. Don't you quit. It's too soon to quit. People are dying and going to hell. Do we believe that? People are dying and going to hell. Pagan religion is being propagated in this country. Hatred is rampant. We're more divided than the days of the Civil War. Lies are being called truth, and the truth is being called a lie. Evil is called good, and good is being called evil. But as my brother and my buddy Rock Collins like to say, Jesus is on the throne, and His hand is on the throttle. And one of these sweet days, we're going to hear those words, rise, saints of God. And we're going to rise in glory. We're going to sit at His feet. And we're going to sit around and shout, Jesus is Lord. And wait a minute. We'll look at one another and say, it was worth it all. Hallelujah. So don't you quit. It's too soon to quit. I said, it's too soon to quit. Let's pray. Father, this is your time. As I read my Bible, Father, every time the word is preached or given or taught, there's a response that needs to be made from the hearer or from the reader. And there's a response that needs to be made today. But we have good scriptural evidence to give an invitation today. All throughout the Bible it says, come. The Spirit says, come this morning. The bride says, come this morning. Come unto me, Jesus said, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come and drink from the fountain of life freely. And so we're going to ask you today, maybe you just need to come and pray at an old-fashioned altar and have a brother or sister lift that need up to you, up for you. Or maybe you need to come to Jesus today. And you do that very simply. You just recognize that you're a sinner, that your greatest need is for Him. You believe that He's alive today? And by faith, you just cast yourself at the cross, spiritually speaking, and just say, Lord, I need You. I give You my life. I surrender all. Receive me today. And God will do just that. If you need help doing that, we'd be glad to help you. You can do it right where you sit. And then you need to take your stand in baptism for the Lord. Father, do what only you can do. I believe there's people here today and they're thinking about quitting and giving up and throwing in the towel. And You have reminded us that it's too soon to quit. Thank You, Lord. Do what only You can do. Your presence is here. You've given us Your promises. And Your purpose. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.